making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Baby, come back. Never learned a fool could see I was wrong, and I just can't live without you. Baby, come back.
High planes drift.
You know it is a Beastie Boys sample.
Baby, come back.
Yeah. A lot of people stealing beats.
Yeah, like every rap song ever.
Well, yeah.
Sample kinda, something else.
That's kind of how it genre emerged. Reminds me of Player.
Okay. Yeah. Weekend reading. Want to get to something I read this weekend that I find fascinating.
Wow.
From Jay King in The Athletic. Robert Williams will get personal tutor in Celtics assistant Alex Barlow. I said, what does this mean? What is a personal tutor mean?
This Brad.
You know what it means? Do you know what it means?
This kid's immature.
Babysitter.
Yes.
The Celtics got a babysitter for their rookie.
It's like Jerry Jones when he drafted Des Bryant. Obviously, a little different situation. We have somebody follow Des around 24/7.
The Celtics have plans to shift coach Alex Barlow into a new role in Boston after he spent a year with the team's minor league affiliate in Maine. And one of his responsibilities will be to work specifically with rookie Robert Williams. Each Celtics player is assigned an assistant coach to lean on for individual work spanning from on-court drills to daily film study. Barlow, in addition to his other coaching tasks, will communicate closely with Williams as the 20-year-old adjusts to NBA life.
I actually watched his first good chunk of the first half of his summer league game. First time on the court. Just see how he moves, see how he can run. See what all the hubbubaloo is about him.
The what?
Who says hubbubaloo?
There you go.
There you go. It's like whoops-a-daisies. So your tweet over the weekend, your text. Monomoy, huh? Dog and horse and dog?
Right.
Horse and hound. Right. I screwed that up.
So he writes, Jay King writes, Barlow, 26, spent last year as an associate head coach for the Maine Red Claws.
That sounds like.
He joined the Celtics staff in the summer of 2015 originally, after graduating from Butler, where he began his collegiate playing career under Brad Stevens.
Mm.
He's 26, he's into coaching, and now he's been given the upgrade to the big club.
It's like Eric Mangini.
At this point in the story, three paragraphs in, my thought while reading this last night was, what happens if this guy gets sent to Maine? What happens if he's a total screwball, and they say, we're sending you up to the D-League. We don't have a ton of minutes for you here. You need to get better. You need to improve, and we're going to send you to the D-League.
Then he goes with him and gets his ass straight up there.
Well, I then read the next paragraph that says, Barlow's new role on the Celtics staff has not been defined in full. Yes, it has. You're the babysitter. You're here to babysit Robert Williams. But Jay King writes, it's already clear he will be asked to help Williams both on and off the court in the ways the Celtics provide guidance to all their young players. I don't believe that line. I don't believe that sentence. The ways that they provide guidance to all of their young players? All of their young players get a personal babysitter?
No, you have that
no,
college.
No, they don't.
College, that's available to you. Now it's time to grow up.
The particulars of the relationship may evolve, but the current plan calls for Barlow to assist Williams with everything from his perimeter ball handling to his free throw shooting to his professionalism. If Williams ultimately spends time with the Red Claws, Barlow could end up taking the trip alongside him. Oh, that sucks. His entire career right now is hanging in the balance for Robert Williams. Am I an NBA coach or am I a D-League coach? Well, it depends on how well the kid I'm babysitting does.
I mean, that's kind of a pretty cool resume builder if you could get this kid up and going. You know, and you look at all the coaches that have worked under really good coaches, guys like Thibodeau, and he's gotten gigs. I mean, who knows where it could go for this guy. But if he could turn this kid around and get him to be a beast and to be what Adrian Wojnarowski called him, steal the draft to where the Celtics got him because of the upside, potentially, if it could come together for the kid, that's something to put on your resume, man. I think, you know, if Brad knows him, this isn't like it's going to be a career killer for him if the kid doesn't turn it around.
So while you're away,
yeah,
Robert Williams missed his first summer league workout.
He missed the flight, right?
Yeah, he was here on Friday.
The conference call.
No. He was here on Friday for his press conference.
Yeah.
He then had to be at the workout Sunday morning here. He, for some reason, flew home to Louisiana on Friday or Saturday morning.
Well, he had to go to get that Buffalo Wild Wings discount, right? They had that big deal down there.
I think Arcand said last week.
Sleep on his mom's couch.
One last blowout at the B-dubs.
Right. Hang out one more at the B-dubs. Hang out on mom's couch one more night. And then come up here instead of staying at a cushy motel or hotel in the city. You know, Celtics taking care of you. The gorgeous facility that you have now.
You were coming here for Friday's press conference, and you knew that workout started Sunday. Why in the world would you go back home?
Yeah.
Why would you get on the plane and go? You're here now.
I mean, you played at Texas A&M. You got nice facilities there, but you come here and you see I screwed up. They personally handed somebody to take care of me. I'm at this gorgeous facility that is brand new. I really don't want to mess this thing up. I already got one strike against me. Now I'm going to risk, and I got strike two. Strike three, now you're in trouble.
I went home to get a couple of things, and just a missed flight. Miscommunication by me is all on me.
Get a couple of things.
Toothbrush.
What did the coaches kind of talk to you about after that?
Just accountability, which they expressed to me a lot when I first got here. Just accountability.
That went over well.
Just stressing that this is a job, you know. Things are different in college, so just knowing what you have and the opportunities are limited.
Yeah.
Have they talked to you about any discipline?
Definitely. They discipline you for words more than you may know, but maybe a couple extra sprints or something like that. I don't know.
A couple what?
Extra sprints.
Oh, and some words. See, they really stressed that accountability first time you got here.
Well, it's really made an impression.
It's
really made an impression.
Unbelievable.
Now, this don't take this as a prediction, because I'm not predicting this will happen. Yeah. I don't know. But this player has bust written all over him.
He just seems real lazy. You know, I mean, the impression you get is lazy. I kind of dug it at first because I thought he went on a bender when he got drafted and then passed out. And his mother's, you know, first of all, he went to Buffalo Wild Wings, which is pretty cool to go on a bender. It's not like you're going to some club, man. Hey, man, I went to Buffalo Wild Wings. I ate a ton of wings and had like 18 drinks, and I passed out on my mom's couch face down. Okay, I thought that was going to be it. And this kid was going to get here, and they're going to work his ass off because, you know, from an ownership standpoint, from a GM standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, seems like they got their bleep together here. They know what they're doing. And they would get this kid motivated and get him going. This kid seems real lazy. And that's scary. Nothing worse than wasted talent. It seems like he has it. Looks like he moved around quite well until he hurt his knee.
Are we sure there was really an injury? I mean, according to him, it was just some irritation.
Yeah. He's probably hasn't done it.
He missed the next game, too.
What are the odds he's done a lot? I would say zero. See, I think he got here, probably had a workout or two and got, like, real tight.
Well, do you know what the problem is? Is that when you get to that next level, like, he's going to need to really work really hard to be good at the next level.
What did he find out? The Baines pushed him off the paint or off the spot with one hand?
Yeah, and he's probably to this point in his life been one of those guys that just has so much natural ability.
He just shows up and he dominates.
Shows up and he's great, and now he's going to run into that roadblock.
You got to start to think. This guy
he
guy,
has to get better, and he just may not care to get better.
Wow, that clunky white dude pushed me off the paint.
He's a guy hand. In college. He said a couple months ago, I just want to get paid, right?
Yeah.
I want to get paid, and what has shown you that he's going to work hard since he's since that point, and
nothing.
Then getting drafted late,
not a damn
don't
he
be
fell
Alan
in the
Branch.
Draft.
Don't be Alan
he
Branch.
Missed his conference call. He missed the workout. He's hurt in his first game with a knee injury. It's going in the wrong direction.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have any confidence this guy's ever going to rebound.
The Robert Williams pick so far, it could change overnight. It's been a disaster to this point.
It's Fab Melo.
Nothing about it has been good.
Oh, Jim, great point.
That's what it is right now. Right now it is. He has a chance to get back, but right now it's Fab Melo.
Terrible
pick. Until he hits his head and gets a concussion. On a door jam. That was Melo, right?
Yeah, Barlow will tell him to duck, though.
Yeah, and he's got a babysitter. That's how bad it is. The Celtics have assigned him a babysitter that will go wherever he goes.
I don't know if that's bad. I think that's great by the Celtics.
Oh, it's a smart move by them because they're trying to get something out of the pick.
But you also had to know part of this going into when you're going to make the pick. Like, this kid's got some issues. If we're going to take him, we got to have this ready to go. And that's pretty good foresight by them.
The Celtics are apparently going to get Marcus Smart back on a good deal for them.
Oh, we got to get into this.
The latest development on this weird story coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So Marcus Smart was upset with the Celtics last week, hurt and disgusted, according to the Boston Herald.
Disgusted at who?
I don't know. And I have some issues with, like, the source that's close that, I don't know. I mean, how could you not know that this is how this works?
Well, you've been in the league. You're not new to it. You understand what a free agent is compared to a restricted free agent. Did you get bad advice from an agent?
Maybe.
Started running your mouth saying you're worth 16 to 18? I mean, you don't start throwing numbers out there.
Well, I think the number for him has always been that 12 to 14. That's what he said himself. He said, quote, I'm worth more than the 12 to 14 million.
Yeah.
Like, no, first of all, no, you're not. You're not. That was Jackie McMullen, ESPN, that story.
Right.
To be honest, I'm worth more than 12 to 14 million, Smart told ESPN, just for the things I do on the court that don't show up on the stat sheets. You don't find guys like that. I always leave everything on the court every game. Tell me how many other players can say that. I don't know, the guys that play every game because they didn't put their fist through a picture frame or glass table or whatever the hell was going on there.
I mean, it's great he has this energy. It's great he plays with that type of emotion, but sometimes that emotion can work negative.
Well, that's
for him.
That's what makes that story in the Herald believable, that he's hurt and disgusted because he flies off the handle.
Yeah.
He gets pissed.
Oh, I believe it. I totally believe it. When you throw it out there like that, then all of a sudden you got to, you know, tuck tail and sign a $6.1 million, you know, qualifying offer, then, yeah, you look like the idiot. That's below 50% market value of what you think you are.
So with that going on, the thing that we discussed a few months ago, which is cap space around the league, has sort of dried up in the last week.
Next year's the year, right?
And other teams that look at a player like Marcus Smart, also I think Jabari Bird has kind of been thrown in this category as well, is that teams look at them and say, well, whatever we offer you, your team is going to match. Whatever we offer Marcus Smart, it's going to be a waste of time. They're just going to match the offer, and he'll stay in Boston. And so that's why he really doesn't have a market. It is. It's a cap space issue for Marcus Smart. And that means now, according to a report from A. Sherrod Blakely, NBC Sports Boston, while no deal is imminent, two NBA officials whose teams had some level of interest in Marcus Smart are getting a strong sense he will sign the $6.1 million qualifying offer made by the Celtics and become an unrestricted free agent in the summer of 2019. Is that a win for the Celtics? What a win.
Perfect.
You get the guy back on the qualifying at $6 million? Sweet.
It's like when the Patriots won on the Edelman thing. You know, go ahead and test the market. See what you are as a receiver. You know, we know you do all the little things, the punts, the punt returns, you know, going over the middle, getting your head knocked off, the grittiness. The edge that you play with. Yeah, go test the market. And we'll sign you when you come back. Yeah, they won this one.
Not only will you get him back on that 1 year, how motivated will he be?
Contract year and there's big money out there next year.
That's the positive side of the coin. Can I give you another one?
What's that?
What if he doesn't like his minutes? What if he doesn't feel like the Celtics are giving him enough to showcase himself for free agency?
See if he can control his emotions.
You know?
That's what everybody's, you know, gonna be watching. That's what teams are going to be judging because, you know, they're not going to be able to keep him. You know, and if he's going to make that money, it's, you know, what kind of pro do you act like? There's guys all around the league are going to be watched next year. Guys taking 1 year deals because they think there's going to be money next year. You know, I don't know. I just find it, I find it amazing that you're going to be able to get this guy back for $6.1 million because I thought he was as good as gone. I really did. You know, you could look at the contract that guy like Exum signed. What was it, 3 for 33?
Yeah.
And people keep comparing him to that. Say, hell yeah, Marcus is a better player than that guy.
But he didn't switch teams.
He didn't switch teams.
So the door could still be open for an extension.
Sure.
And so maybe that's what happens.
I like him as a player. I think he brings something to you.
I thought he was going to be back. I just thought they'd have to end up paying him.
Like 1 year, what, 10?
More like a two. You get him on a 2 year deal. Hey, listen,
2 for 20.
We'll pay you a lot more money over this first year, and you know, and you'll get guaranteed money in year two, and then you've got a short term deal, and those are never gonna like kill you. And he gets a chance to go back out in a couple of years and be on the free agent market again. I was saying like two, for 22, between 22 and 24,
yeah,
which would have been between 11 or 12 million bucks a year.
You know the player. And he knows your system. You're comfortable with him. You don't have to bring a guy in and coach him up and get him to blend and create chemistry. He's already built in chemistry.
That would nearly double his salary.
Yeah. And he'd probably be happy internally. He might let you know on the outside, yeah, I wanted more money, but I'm happy to be in Boston.
We'll get him locked in on this 1 year at 6.1, and then they could tack on an extension like Dante Exum did. My question is, if he truly believes that he's worth more than $12 to $14 million a year, what's his motivation to do a deal long term? Probably doesn't have it. Now, if that was all bullcrap and he was just kind of putting that out there, trying to get his value up or set some level of expectations for the negotiation, well, maybe he smartens up. Maybe smart gets smart and says, you know what? To tack on another 3 years at $12 million a piece. Well, you know what? I'll do it. Guaranteed money, man.
Celtics are giddy to be able to get him back at that. That's huge. It's huge. It's huge for them for this 1 year, too.
At like $12 million a year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or just let him play on the $6 million in a contract year and see what you get out of him.
That's what we talked about.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's the problem with the minutes, though. And then, like, is he going to get disgruntled? How's he going to act?
Okay, do you think Marcus Smart's a $10 million a year player?
Yeah, absolutely.
I do.
Okay. Okay,
yes.
Everyone agrees on that.
Yes.
Even if you don't like the guy or you think he has shortcomings,
no, I do.
You know, with shot selection or
based
any
on what
of those
this league
things,
is and what guys make, yes, he is a.
Everybody would agree that he's a $10 million a year player.
Yeah. Yes.
If you could get him, now if he locks himself in and he takes the qualifying offer, and then you offer him like 3 at 36 as an extension, you could get him for $10.5 million a year over 4 years. Who wouldn't do that deal?
I'd take that.
Everybody would take that. And who doesn't like $40 million?
Right. This guy, I like it.
And considering that's a reasonable offer for him, he's worth that.
Somebody who thinks they're worth 60,
and that's just where it gets 15. Silly. Like, if he goes out on the market next year, no one's giving him $15 million a year.
There's so many free agents on the market next year, too.
And yeah, exactly. Where he's going to be so down the list. That's where like someone needs to check him and tell him what he's actually worth.
That 1 year when Evan Turner got paid screwed up the mindset for every NBA player.
Yes, it did.
Evan Turner is the one, and he sees other guys who've gotten paid, Jeff Green and all these other guys.
NBA, they tried to do it. They tried to do the soft escalation of the cap, but the Players Association said, no, we're going that big jump that 1 year.
Yeah.
Everyone got paid, and it's not a big jump anymore.
What's Avery Bradley make here? 11, 12?
He just signed back, what, 2 for 20 or 2 for 21 maybe?
Oof. Yeah.
It's a good deal if he's healthy.
Yeah.
Health is always a question mark.
But, I mean, I think, you know, you play with some of these guys and you see that out there. Yeah, not that he played with Evan Turner, but, I mean, yeah, that Evan Turner won at 18. That's a killer. It's a killer.
Howard's in the car. He's got a thought from earlier on baseball and soccer. Howard.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm originally from Rhode Island, and you could probably fill up the Library of Congress with all the stories from Rhode Island. I'm 58, so I grew up with Cianci, and, man, there were plenty of
Buddy.
But anyway, about the soccer, there was a guy that said, you know, that he complained about them lying on the ground for 25 minutes. And I'm a sports fan like Jim Murray. I'll watch it all. And I played soccer. And they have no padding, nothing, a little shin guard that's like not even a quarter of an inch thick. And those guys get hit hard. And it's tactical to stay on the ground for a little bit because the time doesn't stop. But they get up, and if you notice in soccer, they don't have major knee injuries like on the field when they stop and cut.
Yeah, because they're legitimately not hurt, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, come on, Joe. I mean, those guys play hard, and they get hit hard. And the ball hit, how many balls?
Oh, I know that. Now, I understand the ball stuff, but you're watching a replay with Neymar, and he barely gets grazed.
My point is that guy was an idiot.
Who's an idiot?
It's a great game, and it's compelling. And the best thing about it, Beetle, is that on the replay, the guy takes a minute to figure it out, and they're back playing.
Are you talking about Zoe? Is that what you're doing?
I was laughing at how long they stayed down.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, but it's tactical. It's like football. Sometimes they stay down to get a little extra time.
Yeah, at the end of a game.
I get it. But, you know, they play hard, and they get hit hard. And
said they didn't play hard.
Stepped on and kicked in the head.
Hell of a cardio. You know, got to be a
great
shape.
Howard. I just don't know who he's mad at. Who's the idiot?
You're mad.
Probably so.
It's got to be so, because you're the only one that said anything negative about soccer.
The Neymar stuff, yeah.
You watch soccer every 4 years in the World Cup, it's jarring to an American audience who is not used to seeing that type of flopping. Now, if you're a soccer fan and you watch the NBA finals once every 4 years, or you watch the NBA playoffs, you'd probably think that was ridiculous.
We lose our mind over a flop call in hockey.
As do we. The guys leaning into shots, into a defender on a jump shot so they can get two or three from the free throw line. Yes, and we all accept it as ridiculous. It's the, you know, we're past the point of outrage over it, though. We don't like that part of the game, but we're used to it. That's what soccer fans are. I think that's where they're at with the flopping in soccer. I'm like, okay, it's ridiculous, but we're used to it now. It's
my only point
game.
About all this was that soccer has constant action, and therefore it's attractive to an audience, a younger audience that likes the constant
There's
action.
Movement.
Things are happening. Even if you don't like the sport, you should all recognize that there's something there, something to that.
It's even cool
constant
watching a replay when a guy
positive.
Cool watching a replay when a guy doesn't actually get hit, but he's holding the wrong side of his head where he didn't get grazed. Like, that's kind of cool. Like, wow, you're really not hurt.
And to that point, though, I would say, go back and look at Paul Pierce driving the lane and snapping his head back like he got hit from a sniper rifle.
Right.
I mean, but we're used to that.
Yes.
You're not used to it from soccer.
Right.
So
I'm like, how do you watch this? That's all.
My thing
because
is,
you get used to it.
That,
it's fine.
That even though that is a part of it, a disgusting part of that sport, that I just don't understand how anyone has time for that. It's a small, small part of the sport. It's not like it's going on for the entire time you're watching a soccer match. It does happen, inevitably, but it's not like that's the thing that's happening over and over and over again. It's consuming a large portion of you watching the sport. It's not that involved. But compared to baseball, it's got way more action.
We're going to do another one of my takes here on something I missed.
Oh, yeah. How about LeBron to the Lakers?
Yes.
Okay, next.
Love that.
Sports Hub Headlines.
A lot more offense in the Red Sox 7-4 win yesterday over the Royals in Kansas City to complete the sweep. Andrew Benintendi, it's kind of infectious, huh?
Yeah, I mean, all throughout the lineup, at any given time, we can hit a hot streak, and we'll take our walks, we'll take our hits, and we seem to put some good at-bats together, and everybody kind of feeds off that, so when we're able to do that, we're playing pretty well.
Sox begin a 7-game homestand tonight. Eduardo Rodriguez goes to the hill for the Red Sox in the first of three against the Rangers. 5 Red Sox have been named to the All-Star team. Chris Sale, J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts, Craig Kimbrell, Mitch Moreland. His first time at the All-Star game. Roger Federer advances in a record-extending 16th Wimbledon quarterfinal. He beat Adrian Monarino of France, 6-love, 7-5, 6-4. Currently, going to get the update here on Serena Williams, who will be coming our way any moment now. Yes, advances with a 6-2 win over Eve Rodina. Headlines are brought to you by AdCare Hospital. If you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, help is just around the corner. Call AdCare at 1-800-ALCOHOL. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5, The Sports Hub. Zo's take on stuff he
Zoe is back. We're getting to the things he missed. Need to get his take. LeBron to the Lakers. Your thoughts?
Bummed out. I am. I honestly always thought he was going to go there, but I held out hope that, you know what? He might go to Philly. Or maybe he goes to Houston. Or maybe he goes to San Antonio. Or maybe it's some team. Or maybe he even goes back to Cleveland. Because he still could have gone back to Cleveland and given it one more shot there. But the fact after, Paul George does what he does, he goes there. There's no guarantee that these other guys are going there. All of a sudden, you get Rondo to be the other big signing there. And then you hear that Boogie Cousins leaves, $20, $30 million on the table to go play for $6 million to go to Golden State? Like, God, that sucks. It bummed me out because then you see everybody christening the Celtics to be the Kings of the East. It's an easy path to the NBA. I kind of agree with that, but I do think Philly's going to be competitive. I think it's a two-team race in the East. I think it's you and Philly. Maybe if Philly gets their crap together, gets one more nice addition, maybe they're going to play together and find a way to get these kids to grow up, and they're going to be a great team. I don't know that. But I wanted LeBron to stay in the East. I thought it was good for the East if LeBron stayed in the East. Like, as a true Celtic green teamer, you're ecstatic that he went to the Lakers? Because it pretty much, it does stamp you up. Easy path to the finals, Eastern Conference Finals. You still got to win it to get there. But I think this helps the Celtics, obviously. But from my appreciation for LeBron and what he's done for Cleveland, now I think he's really learned how to be a mature player now, a play efficient, really good, high-level basketball, the best basketball he's played in his career. Kind of wanted, I thought it would have been good for the East competitive-wise. From a competition standpoint, stay here in the East. You're still not going to win the West. Golden State's winning that sucker again and again and again. I didn't like the fact that he was texting Durant. Hey, why don't you come play with me at the Lakers? I don't like that. I don't like the way they set these teams up. I'm not saying it's bad for the NBA, because the NBA, you like watching high-end talent-type teams. And it is what it is. We love super teams in that league. That's what we like. All of a sudden, we don't like super teams in baseball. That's bad for the sport. But all of a sudden, in the NBA, that's good for the sport? I don't know. I don't say I felt cheated, but I felt bummed out. Felt bummed out he went to the Lakers. That was like the easiest. See, that's like taking an easy path, because I'm going to go there. I'm going to control everything.
Easy for what?
Luke Walton, I'm going to control
him.
Easy
for what?
For LeBron.
Yeah, not for winning.
Right.
Not for winning.
That this, it tells you what? That the more of the other stuff is, at this stage of his life, you know, the being around L.A., and Hollywood and all that, and me growing my brand, it's better for me to go to L.A.
That's what it's about, and it's not about winning. I've given LeBron the credit for so many years. He's driven by winning. He's driven by the legacy, the resume, by chasing Jordan, chasing those six rings. No, no, no. You don't get that credit anymore. You chose L.A., and L.A. stinks. And nobody went there. He couldn't get Chris Paul to go there. He couldn't get Paul George to go there. His power as a draw for other players should now be questioned in this move as well.
Yeah.
Okay, offseason's not over yet. I get that. The Lakers, I guess, could still do a deal for Kawhi Leonard.
Sure.
That thing is still in play. But
well,
if it doesn't happen, but if it doesn't happen, what a horrible decision for LeBron James. He's going into his 16th year in the NBA. He's going to turn 34 years old this year. Jordan won his sixth ring at 35 and then was done. For all intents and purposes, he went on the retirement.
Yeah.
He was out for 3 years. He came back a few years later, but that doesn't even count. 35, he was done with the six rings. LeBron doesn't have years to waste, or he doesn't have years to punt on now at this point in his career, if that is what he's motivated by, which means you cannot choose the Lakers. You cannot sit there and not have the other guys around you. You can't do it. And he's different from all these other Laker greats over the years that joined the Lakers mid-career. Wilt joined the Lakers. Kareem joined the Lakers. Shaq joined the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, a couple of those guys were pre-free agency. They did it through trade. Shaq was not. He was 24 when he went there. They all needed the Lakers for something. They needed the Lakers to go there and win. They didn't have that. LeBron's got three of them, and he needs three more. He doesn't need the Lakers to do it. He's the best player in the world. He doesn't need the Lakers. He likes the Lakers. He likes L.A. He likes the lifestyle. He likes the brand enhancement.
He
likes the bright lights and celebrity culture there. He wants, you know, Leo DiCaprio and Jack Nicholson sitting courtside at a playoff
game.
He's
a show. He wants to be part of the show.
And maybe part of it is that he wants his son to go to high school there, and that's where he's going next year. And so great. He's a great family man. Good for him. He has every right to choose the Lakers, but I think he's about to take a pass on the legacy part. I think he's taking a pass on improving the legacy.
Yeah, I mean,
he's taking a pass on trying to catch Jordan. He's sort of risking all of that stuff that we had sort of hoped for him that he was all about, and he's not.
Good for him, though. Good for his kid. I mean, if your kid's that good, they're going to find you, okay? You're going to play AAU, but they're going to find you. It's not about the high school you go to. The kid's going to be taken care of for life. He's got more money than God does LeBron.
And Hardy?
But it's great the kid has his own type of career, but if he's that good at basketball, you can play in Alaska. They're going to find you.
You and I talked a couple of weeks ago, dude. We think the next stop for LeBron would be the last one. This is a 3-1, a 4-year setup for him in L.A. He may not leave. I get the feeling he's not going to leave. I want to change my thought on that. I don't think he's leaving. I think he likes it there. He wants to wear that silly purple Lakers uniform. He wants to be that guy in L.A.
I'm surprised that he signed that deal. I thought it was going to be another opt-out after a year type of thing and, you know, see how it goes. But no, based on his age and the fact that he's in the second biggest market in the country, in a place where he hasn't played before, the only way I could see him leaving after this is to go either to New York to play in the number one market, or like a season back home in Cleveland or something at the end. But whereas you and I were both in total agreement that, you know, he'd be playing for another couple, few more teams before he was done, now it seems like this could be it.
He will not play for another team in a meaningful way. Let's leave it at that.
Like Jordan, right.
He played for the, you know, with the Wizards there at the end. Meaningless.
We could start finding out the basketball.
The Lakers will be the last meaningful stop, and I did not think that 2 weeks ago. I believe that now. 617-779-0985. Everybody back today here on Zolak and Bertrand. We got to talk about this story that is headlines worldwide right now.
Oh, my God.
And that is the cave rescues going on in Thailand. We both want to get to this. Why don't we touch on that amazing story coming up next?
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
T-shirts, dude. They all sold out, right?
Yeah, they're all gone.
Not good.
Four more.
Saw one down at Cape, actually.
You did?
Yeah.
You just randomly saw one?
Sitting there. Someone was on a beach. Hey, I got a shirt on.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Buzzards Bay. Yeah. Pretty cool.
Very good.
Like, look at you. I should have sold those.
Four more boys were rescued from that cave today in Thailand.
This is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I can't believe how much it seems like they have their stuff together. Not that I didn't expect that. But the amount of response teams and how organized it looks, you know, with all the helmets, the lights, the teams, the block offs at the hospital, getting the cameras in there, the doctors, the strings, the lights, and reading the details. Like, I've gone diving once in my life, and I don't like being down there where you can't see anything left or right, and you're worried about sharks or this or that. Could you imagine going through these caves where the water is so murky and dark that you can't see in front of you, and to do that for over 3 hours and have a little boy do that with a full face mask on? I know he's attached to you, but kids get bored quickly, real quick. And you're under there for 10 minutes. Oh, look at my watch. Oh, we only have 2 hours and 50 more minutes of this. Keep sucking through that line, that lifeline. It's called oxygen.
There are parts in this cave that are so narrow that they can't have the oxygen tanks on them.
Yeah, they have to
hold them in front of them. Like, you can't fit through as a diver with your tank on.
I thought this was going to end so badly
when
the Navy SEAL...
You have to take off your tank and hold it as you're also holding this line, which they say, I read one diver talking about
line
last night.
What if that line
said, you lose that line, you may not come back because it's so dark. And it's so muddy. And there's no visibility.
What's the worst way to die? Like that. And you're thinking, okay, these kids are in there. They're running out of oxygen. You're reading the stories of them. You know, the rain came back Sunday. The cave flooded even more. Oxygen is depleted. They said the coach, the guy that led them there, they took him out first because he was so malnourished.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's been
confirmed.
They're not
releasing names. Right.
But he is suspected of being the person who was airlifted once they got him out. Because he had been giving up his food and water to kids.
I'd be one of the parents waiting for this guy. What do you take my kids in there? Like, at what point did you think during the process of you getting there, did you think this may be bad? Like, they got in there, and you really had to twist your body, and you read some of the crevices they had to go through. Like, maybe we shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, that's sort of my thought. How did they even get in there?
Yeah.
How did they get so far into this cave? But here's the part that I find amazing about the story. It's just that this happens. This is not at all common. This is not something you hear about every day. And within a matter of what, a couple of days, a week's time, it's like, oh yeah, we got people for that.
And boom.
Hey, restore your faith in everything.
Yeah, response
teams. Oh yeah, we got a team for that.
Cameras in there. We'll get doctors in there. We'll get food in there. Don't worry about it. We'll get it there. Like, for their ability to do that and do it that quickly. Seems like they got their stuff together there, man. Pretty impressed with it.
Right, there's
pretty
40 international divers that are there.
I thought this thing was going to end so badly when a Navy SEAL died, ran out of oxygen, Like, you're thinking, okay, this guy's been through hell and back, right? How many times? And if he can't get out, there's no way you're going to be able to get any of these kids out underwater for over 3 hours. Like, you remember the West Virginia, you know, the miners, when they were bringing them out through those tubes? What was that, a year ago or 2 years ago? Or the Chilean ones? It happened in West Virginia. It also happened down in Chile. Same exact type thing. They had to dig this long thing where you're basically in a sarcophagus, and they're lifting you up.
There is something about the toughness of these kids.
Mentality.
And it only seems to happen in a foreign country. Like, if this were to happen, God forbid, in the United States, how long would those kids last?
Oh, 6 minutes.
20 minutes, maybe?
How long would Calvin last?
Nah, I can't do it.
They would just expire.
I'm not putting a mask on.
Whether it's an earthquake or a cave flooding or something, weeks later, no, we got this. We're still here. Just need a little help, and we'll get out.
Like, what are you going to do with the one kid that may snap? Think after three weeks, you're stuck in there. You finally get you're nourished, but you got a phobia about putting masks on or being in tight spaces.
Well, part of the
kid's like, I'm not going to put the mask on.
See, that was, to me, that's also the fascinating thing about this, is the psyche of the cave divers, and not only them, like, you know, how you handle the stress of it, but they said the fact that there were so many of them. They said if there were just a few of them, you know, just a couple few kids, that their chances for survival would be a lot less.
Right.
But it's a big group like that, and it's that, you know, that group bonding mentality where, okay, we're all here.
That's why football teams go away to camp.
Yeah, it's the same thing. As
remember the Titans?
Yeah, football training camp. Exact same thing. Thank you, Scott. That with so much in terms of support, and it's like, no, we can all do this. We've got everybody here. You know, we'll figure out a way out of this. But if it's just, God forbid you're alone or just a couple few of you, no.
Did you
chances for survival go way down.
Did you read the description that he's talking about where you have to take the tanks off and put them in front of you? So you're going down like sort of this rabbit. You don't have room to turn around. Say you get snagged on something. What do? Go backwards?
No, not only that, they're talking about some of the jagged rocks
right.
that are in these
That's
tunnels.
What I'm saying. Say you catch something on that. Now all of a sudden I got to back up and go backwards through it? How do you swim backwards?
And their biggest thing, first of all, none of the kids know how to swim, which in Thailand is not uncommon because they have a belief that if you learn how to swim, you will then have increased your chances of drowning. And they're hoping that this serves as some sort of wake-up call, I guess.
Take swim lessons.
To get people to learn how to swim there. Because they do it with a purpose. They
These
don't
kids
got to
be so freaking scared.
Takes away the fear of water if you know how to swim. Is that it? That's the case with like real little kids.
The rate of drownings there are through the roof, they say. So this is part of that. But that's a different story. Just the fact that they've been in there for this long. They've got to go out and they've got to remain calm, not knowing how to swim, Hardy, underwater with a mask on.
Whoa.
One diver in front of them, one diver behind them. They bring them out with two divers for each kid. It's got to be terrifying. Terrifying. And then the other thing is, at some point, you mentioned the group mentality. At some point, there's only going to be a couple of kids left in there. Like, waiting to be the last ones out. They've got eight out. They've got
How
four
do you like to
go.
Be the last kid?
They've got four to go. And the problem is, it takes them like half a day to have what that retired Navy SEAL, the Thai Navy SEAL, was doing, which is go in, they have to line up oxygen canisters throughout the path.
Right.
So they have enough oxygen. That's what he was doing, bringing tanks in and out.
Hey.
But again, we have people to do that. It's just so incredible. The entire thing is
and we can figure it out, right? That they figured it out. They figured it out.
And they figured it out in like, what has it been? Not even 2 weeks since
Oh, their bikes
happened,
are there.
Right?
Yeah, they're 3 miles underground. They're in one of those open crevices down underneath.
I mean, they were talking at the start of this that the rain season goes until October and they might have to wait it out in there and then they're going to drill, 2 miles down through the side of it. I'm like, what?
Yeah, bring them up in those
They're
going
to leave them there until October?
That's what they would have to do.
That's not feasible.
They would have to do it. They have to bring them up in one of those skinny tubes like they did for those Chilean miners. It's crazy.
Kids are saying like the first food that they want when they get out.
Steak.
Yeah. Fried chicken. A bunch of them have said fried chicken, and they're like sending letters back, or like,
red beans
there was another Thai dish, go figure, some kind of pork fried something or other.
Pork fried rice.
Good.
Mm.
You'd want pizza.
I'd go Kowloon. You would want pizza? You're probably
want
like a steak.
How long they been in there now?
Steak and cheese sub, French fries, burger.
Couple of weeks.
Cheeseburger.
First real food you're going to have. Hot food prepared for you right now. What do you want?
Well, meatloaf, mashed potatoes with gravy.
Idiot.
You said hot food prepared for you right now. What do you want?
You want steak, meatloaf.
Mashed potatoes?
Well, you're starving. You want meatloaf.
Do you know how good that bite of meatloaf with gravy and mashed potatoes would taste?
As good as it is any other
what
time.
About
not that
mouth?
Great.
Last bite of Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, no. You don't taste it with the gravy. Not that last bite. You want one meal. You want meatloaf.
Oh, mustard and onion.
Joe is in Dudley. Joe.
Joe.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
So, talking about how narrow those caves are and the kid getting bored with the oxygen tanks. All worry about running out of air. They were saying on the news that a Navy SEAL actually died down there.
Get out of here.
He ran out of oxygen.
What's wrong with her? Oh, appreciate the call.
What's wrong with our audience?
We did discuss that.
Let me guess which intern.
We did hit on that.
Let me guess which intern.
Who's our intern today?
When the listeners aren't listening?
Brutal.
We just talked about it the whole segment.
90 seconds, no commercials. We wish our best to the kids who are being rescued from that cave.
And our callers.
And obviously the people who are doing the rescuing. And obviously putting their own lives on the line.
It's amazing.
Why don't we have your intern spend the rest of the show trying to get one of the kids on the show?
Why don't you just stand in the corner?
Intern.
Go find
we
upstairs.
We want one of the kids who've made it out of the cave on the phone.
Go find a third floor in the building by using only the elevator.
You've got 7 to choose from, I believe.
Just get to work.
We'll find
start working the phones. Okay.
Plank.
Hello, Thailand?
Short pier.
Don't go anywhere.